If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to read from Psalm 103. Psalm 103, and I'm going to start at the beginning and read the first 14 verses. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all of our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds, the judgment for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And we thank you for your word, for this word, for your word in its totality, for your great plan, for your dealing with mankind and all the intricate details of it that you have put together since the beginning of whenever. We are thankful that you have included us, that you have made us a part of your great eternal plan, and you have a place for us that we will eventually be physically and personally in your eternal presence. What a glorious thing that is. And we worship you for all that you do, all that you have done, and particularly in this whole realm of the forgiveness of our sin and dealing with us in your salvation. Father, may you bless in the lives of each individual person here, wherever they may be, whatever is happening within their life. We thank you that we could be together and unite our hearts in this praise and worship to you. May you bless in and through this, in Jesus' name, amen. I was kind of thinking, as we're in Romans, that the part that we're in now, that it could have made some good Friday messages and even probably into Easter. And I was kind of lamenting a little bit about that. Timing was off. But, you know, this is something I trust God in my life as a preacher, that things will line up to be put together and preached in the right time and the right way for the people that God has on a given Sunday. You know, sometimes I think, my head gets too big for me, and I think, this is going to be a really good sermon today. This is going to be really good. And then nobody shows up. Well, not nobody, but there's a small crowd. And I said, Lord, what are you doing? You know? And he reminds me that he's the one that will speak the truth, even if we're not here. And he will. I could have a whole sermon on, you know, how I feel about my preaching sometime. But that's not what we're here for. We're here for the Word of God. So we trust God knows what He's doing, and He's going to prepare the right things for us to minister to on Easter, or Good Friday and Easter, and I'm praying that He's working that way in my heart and your heart right now. We're talking about some important words in Romans chapter 3, and particularly from that verse 21 to the end of the chapter of Romans chapter 3. And there's some verses that I've known. There's one verse 23, that I've known since the time I was big enough to learn verses. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's been a verse that has been a part of me for a very, very, for 60-some years, a long time. And we've run into this section where there are a lot of theological, doctrinal words that are important to us, particularly in this realm of salvation, of the gospel that's being presented in Romans and the salvation that comes from that gospel. This is a treasure chest of words that God gives to us. I think last week I referred to them as million-dollar words. I got to thinking about that. When I was a kid, a millionaire, that was the thing to attain to, a millionaire. Inflation has changed that. Yeah, and we talk about billionaires now in that same light. So this is a billion. These are billion-dollar words, at least now, maybe more than that. So last week we talked about righteousness and faith, and the significance of them and what they were, particularly in the realm of our salvation. And in my notes, I said that we're going to do five more today. Well, I couldn't cram five into this period of time. So we're going to do three more. We're going to do three more, and I'll try not to get too long in doing that. It's a big ask to do that, but we will work in that direction. These are all words that are common to you. Words that we use all the time, particularly as we talk about salvation. So they should come easily. But I'm learning some things even as I dig into things a little bit more. The first word, though, this morning will be justified. Verse 24. Actually, all three of these words come from verse 24 of Romans chapter 3. Being justified as a... Well, I'll talk about this later. My translation says, as a gift. Some of you it says freely, but being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And you could probably pick out those words by just hearing the verse. John MacArthur says, in relationship to being justified, justification, those words that are similar, that come from the same root, they're used some 30 times in the book of Romans. And he says it's a legal or a forensic term that comes from the Koine Greek, and it comes from the word for righteousness. And it means to be declared righteous. It is a legal term, a term that can be used in a legal setting, that was used in a legal setting back in the first century. To be declared righteous. This is the verdict that has been given by the eternal judge to those who believe in Jesus Christ. They are justified. They are declared righteous. I think about that in relationship to, first of all, sin. That our sin is forgiven, and I read purposely from Psalm 103, verse 12 particularly. I read 14 verses, but verse 12, that I am reminded how far my sin has been removed away. Have has been taken away from me by God, by the work, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, paying for my sin upon the cross. How far? As far as the east is from the west. I don't know if you've made that trip lately. It's a long ways, isn't it? We can't even understand that whole concept. As far as the east is from the west. So far has He removed my iniquities. You know, what does He do with my sin? It was there. I know it was there. But He's taken it away. He's removed it. How far? Long ways. You know, is there a big pit somewhere He buries them all in? Maybe I'm being silly in thinking that way, but He's taken them away and removed them so that it is no more a part of us and who we are. Our sin is given to Christ, and in its place, Christ gives us righteousness. We talked about that last week. And the importance of that we must be declared righteous. I've always kind of subtly had this thinking in my mind that the absence of sin is righteousness, and I don't think that's right. I think righteousness is something that is a quality that comes from God. It's a part of who God is. And it's what He wants to produce within our lives. It's not just the absence of sin. It is the replacement with God and who He is in His righteousness. Being right before Him. Our sin given to Christ, and in His place Christ's righteousness given to us. It's a legal transaction that takes place. The way that I many times illustrate it is that God sees me as being in Christ Jesus. And you can go back to John 15. That's a chapter, that's a place that I have been going back to a lot of times lately. That we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And we being in Christ, this term justified, God looks at me through Christ. He sees Christ first and foremost. He sees me being in Christ, and He sees the righteousness of Christ. And then He declares me, not because of who I am, but because of who Christ is, in His righteousness, He declares me as being righteous, being right with Him. And He, as the eternal judge, declares that. Verse 28 of this Romans 3 chapter says, "For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law." In other words, it's not by what we do, but it's by what Christ does and who He is that we are righteous in Him. And that's where I put the word amazing. I don't understand it. I don't know if I'm meant to understand it, but I don't understand how it can even be that I can be declared righteous. We need to understand what it means to be righteous. And I just don't see how it could happen with mere humanity as a mere human being. But that's what happens. We are justified. The second word that I want to talk about for a moment, verse 24, is grace. You've been hearing about this word forever if you've been around church, in a Bible preaching church at least. Grace, and maybe other churches as well. It's a word that gets used a lot. All these words that we've been talking about usually fit into the package related to salvation. There's this package of salvation terms and words and stuff And generally grace is a part of that. And we generally think of grace in those terms. But there's two of these words that we have and we'll be talking about that not only relate to salvation, but they also relate to the living of the Christian life, the life, the sanctification process. And grace is one of those words. Grace is always used in relationship to salvation. We'll talk about that just a little bit more. But it's also used in terms of helping us, God giving grace to us to live the Christian life, the sanctification process. It's often that we think of in 2 Corinthians, didn't I write that down? Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 9, that Paul asking God to remove his thorn in the flesh. Three times he prayed for it. And God says to him, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Now, that wasn't the grace necessarily that referred to his salvation. That was grace in terms of another realm of that, that God gives us the power and the strength to do what he has chosen for us to do, what he has given for us to do. Grace is strength. Grace is the power of God within us to live the Christian life. Faith is the same word, and we talked about that a little bit last week. Faith is essential for salvation. It is a salvation word without question. But we live our lives not by sight, but by faith. We walk through life and we live the Christian life trusting God each step of the way, living in faith. And so those two words can be used interchangeably, not only in salvation, but in the sanctification part as well. As grace appears here and in many times in relationship to salvation, it means unmerited favor. In other words, given us something that we don't deserve. Now, I wrote that down and I looked at it and I said, no, am I right here now? Because it gets confusing sometimes. We talk about grace and mercy being on the same coin but two different sides. And is this mercy or is this grace I just defined? Giving us something that we don't deserve, that's grace. Not giving us what we deserve is mercy. What do we deserve, class? Oh, there's always somebody. We don't deserve it, but he gives it to us anyway. Mercy is not giving us what we do deserve, which is eternal damnation. Why? Because of our sin. Because of our sin. That's what we deserve. And that involves every one of us. We spent a lot of time talking about that, so it won't go deeper. Grace is giving us what we don't deserve. We deserve to be punished, to be damned for our sin. God says, no, I'm giving you something that I want to give to you that will give you life, that will give you salvation. Something that we don't deserve. There's an acrostic that is often given in relationship to grace. Using the word grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. I didn't deserve that. I didn't deserve it. But that's what God gives to me. He gives to me his grace. And that's an important part of the salvation. This verse says, being justified as a gift by his grace. this is Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. God gives that to us. We appropriate it through faith. We talked about last week. The third word, and this one I learned a little something about that I didn't think I would, but it is the word gift. And some of you are looking in your Bibles and says, I don't see the word gift in verse 24. Many of the translations don't use the word gift. There's two that I know of, New American Standard, which I'm using, and the English Standard Version, which I study off of quite frequently. So I've gotten to the point, and I've told you this before, I check other translations to make sure we have the same words that we're talking about, because I talk about words a lot. You have probably another word there, and it would be the word freely. Some of your translations, a lot of the translations use that word. It is the word freely. Actually, the Greek word is, and I may or may not say it correctly, dorein. And it is translated in John 15:25. It's translated, instead of gift or freely, it's translated without cause. Now, you know, it wouldn't be a bad place to look. John chapter 15, oh yeah, 15, I knew that, and verse 25. And this is Jesus speaking, if you don't have red letter edition, which I don't here, but Jesus is speaking about those people that are surrounding him, that are giving him problems within his life, that are rejecting him. John chapter 1 says that he came into his own, and his own received him not. They turned their backs on him. They rejected him and who he was. And we know that's true in his life. And pops to mind Pharisees. They didn't like Jesus, did they? They didn't want nothing. They rejected him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of that day, they turned their backs on Jesus. And so he makes this statement, verse 25, but they have done this to fulfill the word that is written in the law. They hated me without cause. Jesus says they, referring to those who rejected him, hated him. And why did they hate him? Well, they didn't have a reason. Without reason or without cause. That's the same word as gift or freely, depending on your translation. Without cause. And I thought, wow, how does that work? And then as I thought through it, it became apparent to me. In the context, Jesus is speaking and says, they hated me without a cause. And that's a quote from Psalm 69:4. There was no reason for the Pharisees to hate Jesus. There was no reason. There was no cause. And here, there is no reason God should justify us by his grace. I know it's turned to a different point of view of looking something differently than what Jesus was looking at, because he was looking at it in the negative sense, where in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, he's using it positive. God justified us for no reason at all. You say, that's not right. But technically, it is right. The reason would have been that we deserved it, right? The reason would have been that it's something that we needed so much that God said, okay, I'll give it to you. We think of gift in terms of like a birthday present. I will give you a gift because it's your birthday. There's a reason forgiving it. Salvation, we might say that God gives us salvation. It's a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And so he gives it to me, but there's no reason that he should give it to us. He chose to give it to us. I still see some blank faces. He chose to give it to us. In other words, we didn't deserve it. A gift is given. In this sense, it is given without a reason to give it. God just decided to give the gift of salvation. Now, there's a lot behind that. And a part of that, it's not brought out here. See, you're going to be all right. I'm losing my voice. A part of this is that there was a reason that he did give it, but it wasn't associated with us. What was it associated with then? His love. His love. Holy, totally, purely, his love gave it to us, this gift of salvation to us. It was without cause, but God's reason behind it was because he loves us so much. Romans 5:8, which we will get to eventually, but God commanded or gave his love to us while we were yet sinners. Before we ever approached him, he first approached us. More common, we would use John 3:16, wouldn't we? For God so loved the world that he gave us. That giving was a gift. Why did he give it? Because he loved us so much. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. No reason God should justify us by his grace. We did nothing to deserve it, but he did it because of his great love. It wasn't centered upon us or reason of who we are. It was purely because of him and what he chose to do in love. Not because of what we did or did not do. He did it because he chose to do it out of love. And so he justified us by his grace without cause, only because he chose to do so in his love. That when you put it together like that, it's so explanatory and reminds us that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's only through faith. It's only because of God's love and his choosing to do this that this takes place. And so it becomes a gift given to us. And as we often talk about, the gift needs to be received. We need to receive that gift. We need to believe it by faith that he died on the cross for our sins. He forgives our sin. And he gives us his righteousness. And he gives us eternal life, which is salvation. Pray that this might be something of a value to you and understanding. I know there's some people that don't care about how it works, just so it works. There's a lot of people like that. But I like to know how it works. And this explains to me more specifically. God's justified me through, because of his love, for no reason at all, he gave me salvation. Grace through his grace, salvation, that I might have eternal life. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these moments to share and for little words that sometimes mean a lot. And that comes from the very heart of who you are. Father, I just pray that you might undertake within our hearts and minds to solidify this salvation, to know that it's real in each individual heart, and to live by in a way that honors you by faith, by the power of who you are through your grace, to live in a way that others might see it as well. Father, continue to teach us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.